You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It is time. They can't beat the Packers. No. Are you crazy?
You're listening to Cheese and Packers, a project powered by the Packernet Podcast Network. I'm your host, JJ Lee. Follow me on Twitter at JJLAHEY to stay up to date on all things Packers or to submit questions for the show. I do have a question from a patron. This comes from Ken Wayne. It says, "Hi, JJ. Some of the podcasts I listen to will mention an over and under, like how many touchdowns will Aaron pass for in the next game? With an over-under of 2. I know you know what an over-under is," he says. "Then the host of the podcast will have a few-minute discussion on what they think it'll be and why they think that way. Of course, it works great if the hosts each have a different opinion. For some reason, I totally geek out over these. I don't gamble, but I love to pick what I think will happen. I was thinking maybe you'd be interested in offering a few of these in one of your podcasts and include a link in the podcast description to something like SurveyMonkey. This would allow myself and others to engage, and if you have a binary choice, it should be easy to export the results and automate scoring the winners. I would personally geek out over this, especially if you posted results or had some kind of winner at the end of the year. Anyways, I love your podcast and thought you might find it interesting." Thank you, Ken. Appreciate the suggestion. I already had a topic queued up for this week, but I'm going to see how I can work that in next week, because I think that would be a lot of fun. Get you guys involved. I always really enjoy the podcast that we do where you guys get to mark stuff down. You make your predictions, give your opinions, and then I record it and we revisit later on in the year and see how you did. And some of you guys are really smart. Some of you should have your own Packers podcasts because you guys have better predictions than I do sometimes. So, yeah, I'd love to do that. It's London week. And I'm super excited about the Packers going overseas, courting new fans. I have traveled pretty extensively. Been to a bunch of countries, including a bunch in Europe. And it's cool to me to go over there and see people wearing Packers gear. My great-grandma, who is the reason why I'm a Packers fan, grew up in Green Bay. And she, you know, for most of her life, this was just her little small town home football team. And that's kind of just what she knew it as. And in the 90s, I think especially after we won the Super Bowl, she was really surprised and shocked when she would travel. She went to China and she saw people wearing Packers shirts and stuff. And she talked to them and no, they actually were fans. It wasn't just a shirt. It was, yeah, no, we think the Packers are a really cool team. You know, we got to see Brett Favre win the Super Bowl. That was really cool. Well, we think he's really fun. I think the Packers should continue to do outreach. And I know that they, you know, kind of had this London trip forced on them because they really didn't want to give up a home game. But I'm excited that it happened. I'm excited that that they are going over there. I think they should do more of this kind of stuff. I really do. You know, you think about like how Lil Wayne is a Packers fan because he grew up in New Orleans, and after they won the Super Bowl down there, you know, there was all kinds of Packers Super Bowl merch that was everywhere, and so he just grew up with that and thought it was really cool, and that's how he became a fan. And I will tell you, I became a Packers fan because my great-grandma gave me Packer shirts and hoodies and blankets and hats every birthday and Christmas. I wasn't even a football kid, you know, when I was younger. But she gave me all this stuff, and so people would look at me and they'd say, "Oh, man, are you a Packers fan?" And when I was younger, my response was, "It's just a shirt. My grandma just gave it to me." But then I kind of realized the Packers were cool. you know, just started catching a game here or there and thinking, well, I mean, I guess they're my team because I have all these shirts for them. And my love for football was growing and exploding. And the Packers were my team by default because my grandma had given me all these shirts. So it's fortunate that she didn't give me a bunch of Bears shirts or something, right? you know, I didn't even get to grow up in Wisconsin. I grew up in Toledo, Ohio. And I do hear from a lot of Wisconsin and Green Bay, you know, local fans who have a large deal of frustration with this idea. You know, that outreach is important, or that people outside of Wisconsin can be friends or fans. Which I think most people listening think that that's kind of a ridiculous thing to care about. But trust me, there's folks out there who care a lot about that. And, oh, you know, if you are, you know, if you live in Green Bay and you've lived here your whole life, you're a tier one fan. You know, if you just are a general Wisconsinite, you're a tier three fan. And then everybody who's outside the borders of Wisconsin, they're tier four and lower. Genuinely. I run into people who say that kind of thing. I'm really excited because there are fans in London and neighboring countries around the UK that are going to get to see the Packers in person, maybe for the first time ever. And we're going to hear from one right now. I am here with Phil. He is at UK Cheeseheads on Twitter. This is not his first time being on the show. We talked to him earlier in the year when the London game was announced, and now it's finally here. Phil gets to see his beloved cheesy football team come across the pond to London. How excited are you, and what is it like over there?
It's exciting. I'm trying to put it into words. It's something I've been waiting a very long time for. There's a real buzz about this game. It feels like, and maybe this is biased because I'm such a big Packers fan, but this feels like Packers Giants is the biggest buzz I've ever had for any game over here. The Giants are a big fan base anyway, but yeah, it's going to be big, and it should be loads of green and gold Sunday, and it's going to be loud.
So you're going to be at the game, right? And tell me about your plans for game day. How are you going to prep? How are you going to celebrate?
So plans for game day, I'll be up early because I've got a young child. But I should be down at the stadium around 9 a.m. It's a 2:30 kickoff our time, so get in nice and early. And they've got sort of a tailgate sort of going on around the stadium. They sort of traditionally put it on, so there's plenty of food and beverages, places to go, grab a few beers, hopefully meet up with a few fans from Twitter and catch up with like plenty of American fans, because that's one thing I noticed this weekend just gone with Viking Saints. Because of COVID, we haven't had any American fans come over. But it was great to hear American accents again, have that passion back, and it will bring something different to game day.
Talk to me about a London tailgate. What kind of foods might I expect to find there?
All sorts. Like, yeah, plenty of American fare, burgers, hot dogs, nachos this week. So very much similar that you'd have. The only difference is it's probably not your own barbecues that you'd have over there.
Nachos and American food. I think we typically think of those as being Mexican, but
Tex-Mex, yeah.
I bet you we really have Americanized and bastardized that delicious dish into our own thing. So you're telling me that this feels like the biggest game ever over there. I mean, yeah. What would be like number two in your memory?
Number two, I was going through these earlier. I think the big games we've had, the Giants, Dolphins are always big teams and always traveling huge numbers. The 49ers, in fact, teams from the sort of early 90s, those sort of Cowboys, 49ers teams, they're always well supported over here. They're sort of my age group, the big fan bases. And then obviously you get through the success of the Pats recently, that they're always a large fan base that turn out.
For sure. Who else is going to go see the game with you?
I'm taking my wife. I've got my stepdad to come in. I've got friends and family. I think there's about 25 people I know that I should be meeting up with in the Number 8 pub. So there's a pub on the corner of Tottenham Stadium. So it's called the Number 8. That's where I'm going to be before the game. So I hope to catch up with as many people as possible.
So Phil, this is your first time seeing the Packers live, right? You have never come see them play in America.
No, never. This will be my 33rd NFL game I've been to, but the first time seeing the Packers.
Wow. And how long have you been a cheesehead?
I'd say from 96, 97. So I first fell in love with the sport mid-90s. It was Brett Favre that's a sore subject for a lot of people at the moment, I imagine. But it was his love enthusiasm for the game. I almost see a lot of Patrick Mahomes. So as you see the game growing over here and the love people have for Patrick Mahomes, it's that same feeling I had for Brett Favre back in the game. He does things that they're not regular.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Oh, man, I'm so happy for you. Just walk me through your emotions, what you're feeling. I mean, I know when I'm just going to go see the Packers, you know, here in the US, I can't stop thinking about it. You know, in the weeks leading up to it, I'm like counting down the days. Like, I can't believe I'm going to go see him live. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times you see him. It's still so exciting every time for me. I mean, I never lose that sense of wonder. But, man, this is your first time, and you've been rooting for them for, honestly, as long as I've been alive. I was born in 95. So walk me through this. What are you feeling?
Honestly, I've been nervous up to this week. Like, I couldn't think of anything worse of an Aaron Rodgers injury. And don't worry, I'd still be excited to see Jordan Love play, but it's hoping that everyone came over here fit and healthy. And we had, you know, the starters were out there and we put on the best show, but it's just excitement. I've said before, it's hard to put into words how ready I am to go and see this game on Sunday.
I'm so happy for it. All right, what are you thinking about the Packers so far this year? What's your confidence level as they're rolling into Tottenham, right? On the Giants, who actually having a decent start to the season themselves.
I think it's been a fairly slow start. There's plenty of positives from the defense and special teams. Huge step forward on special teams. They don't look a liability anymore. Yes. The offense has got its struggles, but I'm confident. I'm confident that come late November, early December, they're going to be rolling. Like, and that's when you want to be playing your best football going into the playoffs. You don't want to be, I think I said on Twitter earlier this week, we don't want to be the Cardinals of last year. What's the point going out 6-7-0 and falling away and not even getting to the playoffs? So
right.
I'm confident that going forward, when it comes to playoff time, we'll be playing our best football.
All right. Is there anything in this game that you're really hoping to see? I'll just, as an example, in the first live Packers game I ever got to see, there was a Hail Mary attempt and it didn't work, but I was so excited just to get to see that. Is there anything that you're like, man, if you could just do this in front of me, come on, I'd love it.
I think this, I'd love that one of those perfect Aaron Rodgers back shoulder throws, like a sort of post route, maybe, well, sorry, like a corner, maybe 15-yard throw, perfect to the posts, or just an Aaron Jones, just one of those nasty cuts where he just get people out of the game and just goes for a long gainer.
All right, man. Well, in the last few weeks, we've seen a few of those, so I think your odds are pretty good. So, man, I'm so pumped for you. I'm happy. You got to send us some pictures. Everybody, it's at UK Cheeseheads on Twitter. We got to see some pictures, Phil. We got to see how much you're enjoying this and just loving life and the Packers. So really happy for you, and thanks for coming on here to talk about the experience again.
Thanks, JJ. Appreciate it, man.
I just wanted to put into perspective what this game means for some people, how huge this is going to be. And I really appreciate Phil coming on to share his excitement and his enthusiasm. And one thing that you guys are missing by just hearing the audio version was the massive smile that was on his face. This man is so excited to watch the Packers, and I'm really, really happy for him. We're going to take a quick sponsor break here, and then we're going to get into my topic of the day, which is, how do you fix the Packers?
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built for us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We're going to talk about what needs to happen if the Packers want to transform into a dominant team, because this Patriots game was ugly and everybody's frustrated about it, despite the fact that it's a win. Man, really early on in the year, and we've seen this over the last few years, style points don't matter, but racking up these wins does matter. You look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, for example. They are struggling. They lost TJ Watt. They had to make a quarterback change because Trubisky just wasn't getting it done. They put in Kenny Pickett. I don't think that that is the best thing for Pickett's development, but what do I know? We'll see how that pans out. And I'm talking to a buddy who's a Steelers fan, and we're looking at the schedule together, and he's bemoaning the fact that the Steelers are probably going to start the season 1-7. They have so much they have to figure out. Their offensive line is horrific. Without TJ Watt, the defense is really struggling. They don't have any corners. Nobody is getting any pressure in the pass rush game without TJ there. Cam Hayward is taking all these double teams, and nobody else is doing anything, and their linebackers stink, and their safeties, Mink is good, but what's his butt is terrible. They're starting off 1-7, and it kind of doesn't matter how good they are the rest of the year, because you're not going to win every other game on your schedule if you've managed to figure it out after week 8. You're looking at, hey, maybe at that point we can finish up the year 9-0 to go 10-7 and hopefully get into the playoffs. Woohoo. All right, the Packers are 3-1. It has looked ugly, and the teams that they have gone up against have not been very good, but It's been a bit of a gauntlet as well. All right, the Bears, trash. We all knew that. But you beat Tom Brady and you beat Bill Belichick. It doesn't matter how you did it. Those were two of the tougher games on your whole schedule, and you survived them. You're 2-0 through those two games. Yes, there is a lot of context to add for why maybe those are not impressive wins. maybe why that doesn't give you confidence for later in the season. But the wins do matter. Starting off 3-1 is huge because you can still figure things out. You can still improve. The Packers, here's the crazy thing. If you ask anybody, what are the Packers good at? What are they bad at? Everybody would point all the fingers toward the offense as being the problem. But if you look at PFF and look at where the team is graded, all the good grades are over on the offense. Offense overall, 74.1. 74.8. Passing, 75.3. Pass blocking, 63.8. Receiving is 73.1. Running is 83. Then you look over at the defense, 62.9 overall defense, 41.3 run defense, 56.2 tackling. Special teams, still only at 48.8. So I did leave out a couple of grades. The pass rush is good for the Packers, 73.8, but it's not as good as their offensive passing. It's also not as good as their receiving. Their coverage is sitting at 71.3, which actually is 1.8 points lower than the offensive receiving. The offense is better than their defense according to the grades. Now, that doesn't really match your eye test, does it? But it does mean that on a down-to-down basis, if you're looking for consistency over the course of every single snap, more players are doing their job on offense consistently than they are on defense. And there's a few guys on defense who just flat-out suck right now. And yeah, the offense is not getting it done yet so far. They have put up 27 points in two games and then failed to crack more than 14 in their other two contests. But I think the pieces are there offensively. I a little bit question whether we have all the pieces we need on defense. But what I want to do is just run through the list real quick and cover what needs to get better in order for this team to really start to be dominant. Because so far, I think that the team overall has looked kind of subpar. And if you get too micro and you're looking at just the Packers really closely and you're not turning that scrutiny on other teams in the league, it's easy to judge the Packers too harshly and then get really discouraged about what the season can be. If you look around the league, there are Sports Illustrated, ESPN, NFL.com, Pro Football Talk, which is Mike Florio, CBS Sports, The Ringer, 33rd Team. All right, they have lists of who they would rank as the top 10 teams in the NFL right now. Packers appear at 6, 4, 4, 4. That last one was Mike Florio. You know he hates the Packers, but he's got them at 4 behind the Eagles, Bills, and Chiefs. 4 from CBS. 12th by the 33rdteam.com. And 3rd by the Ringer. What the heck are you talking about? The Packers aren't that good. Have you been watching the other teams around the league? Have you been seeing how many teams are struggling? Everybody's got problems. Everybody has massive deficiencies in their game, except for apparently the Eagles. And then seemingly for a while, the Bills, although I think that's coming down to earth slightly, but I still would say they're extremely talented. I think the Packers largely have what it takes to become a great team. And you'll recall all offseason, I was saying I thought it might be the first 4 to 6 games of the season might be a slow start for the offense. We're getting into that window where they need to start really looking good and putting up crucial points. The Patriots have a good defense, but I think 24 points in regulation against them clearly just isn't enough. But there are a lot of missing points from the offense over the first 4 weeks due to really stupid mistakes and turnovers, including pick six from Aaron Rodgers, a fumble into the end zone by Aaron Jones, two bad snaps slash handoffs in the Bears game that really put them, killed really promising drives. I think that if the Packers were playing cleaner football and not making so many mistakes, which you're going to have a lot of the time with a bunch of young players, I think that the box score would look a lot differently, and we would feel like, man, this offense really just has not missed a beat without Davante Adams. Certainly way too many three and outs, certainly way too much punting, and way too many turnovers and stupid mistakes. But I think they have the pieces largely. So one of the questions that I received on Twitter from a listener, this is Jack Farrell on Twitter, he wanted to know if I thought that Elgton Jenkins would be better at left guard. I do think he'd be better at left guard, but is that the answer? There's a lot of reasons why you could point to him being bad right now at right tackle. I think he has been bad. I think that tackle probably is a much more athletic position than guard, and with him being limited coming off of his injury, you could see where maybe that would hurt his ability to play tackle, whereas maybe he could still be better on the inside. This is something I talked about a lot during the off season. If you kicked him inside, would that help the offensive line? Maybe. I saw people asking if we could pick up any vets. You know, should we put Yash at right tackle and put Elgton at left or right guard? I think that any of that kind of shuffling maybe is going to boost you just a little bit here or there, but the real answer is Elgton has to play better. There isn't more help coming. The roster is what it is. There are guys who need to play better. And I think for the most part, the coaching has been pretty good. The play calling has been really good. There are a lot of people were whining about Joe Barry's decision making against the Patriots, his decision to play a lot of zone against the Vikings. But I really think that the coaching and the play calling has been pretty much phenomenal on all three phases. And when we've had problems, it's been guys being inconsistent, guys not doing their job. So Elgton Jenkins has to play better. David Bakhtiari has to play better. Josh Myers has to play better. This is where the offensive line is going to get better. There is no help coming. This is the best lineup of guys that you could have. All right, do you want to get Royce out of there and put Yash in as your fifth guy instead and shuffle things around with Yash on the outside? I don't think that Yash is a significantly better football player than Royce. Royce has been pretty darn good at right guard. He really has. Is this shuffle going to fix the offensive line? I think it could improve it a bit, because I always was of the opinion that Elgton should be on the inside, but guys have to play better. If the offensive line starts playing better, if these two tackles continue to heal and recover and get back into football shape, that's going to be the biggest thing that's going to push the needle forward for the offense. I think continuing to develop Romeo Doubs, get him to do a better job of holding on to the football, all right, coach him up on how he should be holding the football at all times, because he's getting way too loose with that thing, but get him to hold on to the football better and get the football in his hands more often. I think Romeo needs to be wide receiver one for the year. Alan Lazard is doing a good job, I think. But I think Romeo's the guy. I don't know what Christian Watson can do. You know, he stretches the field, stretches the defense. That's great. I really don't think Christian Watson is a very good football player. He's a freak athlete for sure. But he needs to play better. And Rodgers needs to get the ball in his hands. And it's frustrating to me to feel like these jet sweeps really are about the only thing you can do with him, because if you try and hit him deep, the guy can't haul it in. Okay, we're hearing all these reports about Romeo working with the jugs machine all day, catching hundreds of passes from it. Take Christian Watson with you, all right? he needs to learn how to track those deep balls. I don't know if he can do it, but he needs to. But getting Romeo in there, look, he's your dude. Romeo is your dude for 2022. And then you have to stop turning the freaking ball over on offense. This is how you fix the offense. Quit coughing the ball up. The New Orleans Saints have the most negative turnovers at 11. The Colts and the Rams, Patriots and Jets are all at 9. The Falcons are at 8. Then we get to the first team that I think is actually good, and that's the Buffalo Bills. They're sitting at 7. Tied with 7 is Chicago Bears, another crap team. The Steelers, a crap team. The Commanders, a crap team. And the Green Bay frickin' Packers, 7 turnovers. They have 4 fumbles. That's just fumbles lost. We're not talking about fumbles that they've recovered, which I can think of at least 2 to throw on there, which would put you at 9 times that you've coughed the ball up. They have 3 interceptions, including a pick 6. Sorry, 3. And if you look at their differential, the Packers are sitting at minus 3. They also are losing downs to stupid mistakes. Rodgers seems to be doing a really good job with the deep ball, and I think his intermediate ball is pretty good. And for some reason, when he's just trying to hit a guy in the flats, it's like hit or miss whether it's going to be on the money or 6 feet off, and I don't get it. But these are easy things to clean up. This is not a talent issue. You look at the Chicago Bears in all phases of the ball. You look at the Lions on defense. It's depressing because there's nothing you can do to fix it. The only thing they can do is just hope that their crappy players get less crappy. The Packers just need their elite players to play elite consistently instead of every few plays doing something really stupid that just burns you. So my keys to fixing the offense largely comes down to blocking, especially pass blocking. I think they're doing a good enough job in run blocking, which makes me really happy after how crappy the run blocking was a year ago. But their pass blocking needs to get better. And, you know, for the most part, these guys are doing okay on a snap-to-snap basis. But the problem is you got too many times where a dude will just take one rep off and doesn't matter, the other 4 guys are all doing their job. You got one guy who's not blocking anything, and you got a pass rusher flying through right in Aaron's face, and he can't let any of the plays develop, and he's got to throw it away. Aaron, I think, has been playing really well. I understand the frustrations with him. I think that you can probably find 3 or 4 quarters total already in his first 4 games where really he was super rattled. I think it's interesting the perception from a lot of people between the Buccaneers and the Patriots game, where I thought that he looked really rattled against the Bucs, and I thought that his passes were off a lot of the time. I didn't really see that so much with the Patriots, and most other Packers commentators said kind of the opposite. But I think that we can agree that over the course of the 2 games, he looked rattled and inaccurate too often. Elton and Bakhtiari have to start playing better because you need your best players to be your best players. And right now we're getting a very subpar version of Elgton Jenkins and a still not great version of David Bakhtiari. Yes, I have a lot of grace for them because they're coming back from injuries. They're not in football shape, but it has to get fixed by the end of the season or you're not going anywhere. And we have a rough slate of games coming up. Now, I really like the grittiness of this team overall. They're winning a lot of close games that go down to the wire because they're tough. They have a winning mentality. They really want it. They don't give up at the end of the game. That's huge. That makes me excited. I really like what I'm seeing out of Aaron Rodgers as a leader so far. He's taking a lot of risks with the ball, and I think he's doing it because his mentality is in the right place. He is all in on these young guys and on trying to win these games, and he's doing it as a member of the team. I like that he's taken risks on some of his throws to these guys. I think maybe there's a nice balance you can find between forcing the ball and getting picked off and not trusting your guys at all. I think there is a balance there, but I like the way that he's really getting in there with the guys. And I think that that's a big part of why the team is finding success through the first 4 weeks, despite all their mistakes. Are they going to bring somebody in? Are they going to bring OBJ in? For the first time, I'm starting to think, yeah, they actually might. We'll have to see if and when Sammy Watkins comes back. But Odell is expressing interest. Aaron is expressing interest. I think it is more likely to happen than not to happen. But I also don't know that it needs to happen. I think that bringing in Odell could be a boost for the offense, but I think that featuring Romeo more and more might be a bigger boost to the offense right now. Matt LaFleur is doing a fantastic job of alternating his play calling, leaning on the run, mixing things up, being creative. It reminds me a lot of the 2019 offense. On the defensive side of the ball, again, I really don't have problems with Joe Barry's play calling. I think it's been good. I have a lot of problems with the way guys can't wrap up and tackle. Should I just not compliment them anymore when they do a good job on tackling? Because they were great in week three, and I heaped praise on them for the way that they tackled against Leonard Fournette and all the Buccaneers players. 1 week later, they're back to their old habits. This was horrific run defense. And I know the Patriots are good at running the ball. I know that they had 6-0 linemen in for a big chunk of the game. That does not explain why I'm seeing Preston Smith get pushed backwards 6 or 7 yards by Ramondre Stevenson, of all people. Do the Packers need to bring in another edge rusher? Yes, absolutely they do. They are not getting anything out of anybody not named Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith. And they're hardly getting anything out of Preston Smith right now. Preston Smith has a 33 tackling grade. His overall grade is a 60. He does have 12 pressures and 3 sacks. That's fantastic. Love it. He also has a 25% missed tackle rate. Am I mad at Preston? No, this is... You know, this is about, I guess, what I was expecting from him on the season. He does need to play better. We also need to give Rashawn and Preston a bit of a breather. They can't be out there for 60 minutes of football. The other thing is, again, and we knew this in the offseason, they need more safety help. You lose Adrian Amos a few plays into the game against the Patriots, and he was electric leading up to his concussion. He was a dude who you could feel on the field. Then he got hurt and you could feel the loss. Now, I'm not mad at Rudy Ford. I thought Rudy Ford did a really good job. But there was a noticeable drop off from Adrian Amos to Rudy Ford. Darnell has good plays and bad plays, but you can't have just two safeties. We knew that. You also can't have two pass rushers. We knew that. They need to go find some pass rush help. Who should they go get? I don't know. That's why we have a GM, to go scout and find guys like he found Devondre and Rasul last year, like he found Whitney Merciless last year. You got to go find somebody. We need help at edge rusher. Jonathan Garvin isn't doing anything. Tipa hasn't even played. I'm not even kidding. He has not taken a single snap. There's only 4 edge rushers who have played. The other two guys are Garvin and Enagbar. And Enagbar has logged 48 snaps. Garvin has logged 40. Preston and Rashawn are both pushing 200 snaps right now. We have to get a third guy out there. Absolutely have to. The Packers are doing really well on special teams right now. You know, judging or grading it on a curve of Green Bay special teams. This is good enough special teams. I think Amari is not great, but he's good enough. The rest of the team is good enough. You saw issues from the special teams against the Patriots, but I think a big part of that was that Rudy Ford and Keyshawn Nixon were playing defense, so they weren't really on special teams as much, especially Rudy Ford. It was noticeable. If the Packers' defense can get better play from its safeties, if they can learn how to stop the run and tackle like they did a week ago, so, yay, we are 1 for 4 on the season of games where we are tackling adequately. If they can do that, this is a team that can go places. They have all the pieces. We see the offense humming for a drive or two at a time. We are seeing issues with what happens when the opposing defense makes adjustments and tries to take away what's been working. We have seen the Packers struggle sometimes for kind of a long time until later in the game when they can figure out some new stuff to get going again. That's something that I think they can figure out. I'm not super nervous about that. I think that you look at the way that the offense has been putting up points, it has been steadily getting better over the course of the year. I think it's going to continue to get better. And I think that continuing to feature Romeo in there, maybe you bring in some outside help in Odell, maybe you get Sammy Watkins back. I think that they have all the pieces they need. The offensive line has to play better. The defensive line has to play better. The safeties has to play better. And Devondre Campbell has been pretty awful. He needs to play better. Rasul Douglas kind of really only shows up when he's playing on the boundary. And since Jair is hurt right now, we're seeing more of Rasul on the boundary. So, I don't know. Is that a positive? I think it's a bit of a wash to me, but he's been a liability on the inside. Tom Brady is excellent for opposing defenses to take notes from, because he goes after your weakest link. And he was picking on Rasul all day long. And again, I think the biggest thing the Packers have going for them is that the division is really weak right now. The Vikings look terrible. The Bears, one of the worst teams in the NFL. The Lions have the best offense and literally the worst defense. It's crazy. The NFC overall, I think, is really manageable. The Buccaneers don't quite look like themselves. We already managed to beat them once. The Eagles are, a fantastic team right now. But again, I think we match up well with them because they don't do the things that we struggle with. And they are really good at the stuff that we are really good at beating. So I'm not nervous about the Eagles. I think it's the Eagles and it's the 49ers. And man, anybody around the league would look at the 49ers team and tell you what kind of problems they have. The Packers have all the pieces they need. They can put this together. But the help really has to come from within. And it's not coaching. It's the players. The players have to play better. There's a few guys who are supposed to be our superstars who are not doing their jobs. And I'm not looking at the young guys and feeling frustrated with where they are. I'm looking at the guys who are supposed to be the foundational key pieces of this team. Our two premier tackles. This defensive line for us that was supposed to be like the backbone of our team. I was hyping them up so much in the offseason, and they've been terrible, especially in run defense. It's kind of Rashawn, a little bit of Kenny, and like nobody else. The safeties were supposed to take a big jump and get back to where they have been every year except for last year. I don't know what's going on with them. We got to get Sam back on here to give us another update now that it's been a few more games. Get him to analyze what is going wrong with the safeties still. But they've been bad. I think Devondre has been really, really, really bad. And so has Rasul. I think one of those two guys at a minimum needs to get back to playing adequate football. That's really all it takes. The team really is close. The offense should be putting up more points, but they're not because they are turning the ball over instead. Turning the ball over like in really good spots too. Literally fumbling the ball into the end zone. I don't think they were going to score a field goal on that drive. That was going to be a touchdown if Aaron Jones didn't just literally let go of the ball and throw it on the ground. And A.J. Dillon, he's kind of had one good week so far this year. Again, he's supposed to be one of our superstars. So I'm not nervous about the Packers long term for this season. I think it's really encouraging and exciting that through the first 4 weeks, they've only dropped one game. And I think that's kind of about what you would have thought through that stretch. It just kind of surprises you which game they dropped. But to be 3-1 after playing two division rivals, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, absolutely, fantastically exciting. That's a wonderful spot for them to be in for the course of the season. And they just need their best players to start playing like their best players because everybody else is doing their job. And that's enough. I think that they have what it takes. The help just has to come from within, with these guys choosing to play better. That's going to do it for me today. Patreon.com/JJ Leahy if you want to support the show, want to continue sending questions. You all have a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you guys next week here on the Packernet Podcast Network.